I'm going to, Lord willing, move back into the book of Hebrews. We touched it in the right hand of God. This book is a very advanced book, and to understand the heart of it, taking a long, long time to break the whole book and the heart of this book. Now, I'm not going to teach on Hebrews today, but maybe a little bit, because I'm more try to exhort today. But I want to get into this because it's where we're going. Last Sunday morning, I was in a very, well, almost every service, we're in heavy presence now, but I was under a very heavy anointing, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and He said something to me. When you get into His realm, He says things that make a lot of sense. And you get back in your realm and you question it. You go, what did He say? He said something to me. He goes, I purge the old man through trials, but I perfect the new man in glory. In other words, there's only so much you can do by enduring testing and trials. They will produce change. Testing and trials will produce change. They'll purge old habits, old patterns. But the perfection process of God is not found, not the true perfection. The true perfection of God, the way He truly designed this, the way He wants to perfect His body, is found in His glory. And He spoke this to me, and it just came so alive to me. You have to understand, just because we're not traveling to the nations, going here, going there, and have a tremendous amount of activity all the time, doesn't mean we're not moving. When the Spirit of the Lord said, the book of Mark, is to take up your cross, deny self, and follow me. We all have a definition of what it means to follow God. What does it mean to follow Him? Follow Him about who I'm supposed to marry. Follow Him about what job I'm supposed to take, what church I go to, if you're a minister, what nation. But to truly follow the Lord, He's going to lead you into His glory. And not everybody wants to go. Not everyone has the compass. And most of that's because the leaders in the body of Christ don't set that compass. You're a product of the compass that's been set in your life. That's why you got to be careful who you're under. Who you're under, you will wear their government. You need to know that right now. You will wear the government of the person you're under. It can release you and restrict you. Amen. And so the Spirit of the Lord is leading us into His glory. He's leading us from glory to glory. And there are positions in that place where that glory begins to radically transform our life. It moves beyond just tasting of His presence, drinking of His presence, to a radical transformation. The depth of God's love is found in His glory. The depth of His glory is found in His love. And it's all in the same place. It's in the heart of the Father. It's where He is. And it's why Jesus came to get us, to bring us to the Father. And so turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John 17. Believe it or not, the entire book of Hebrews, with all of the Melchizedek's, and all of the deep, intricate knowledge, that whole book was being designed to release you into the perfection of God. To move you out of an earthly priesthood into a heavenly priesthood. That's why Paul said, I want to give you meat, but hitherto I can't. And I'm like, you gave them plenty of meat. The book of Hebrews is meat. But to Paul, I have no idea where that man lived. It gets clearer and more concise as you grow in the higher realms of God. You really stop stumbling. You see better. You see clearer. The atmosphere is very clear. Your eyes are very clear. The pain you carry more is not, He tends to alleviate your personal pain and move you into a place of harmony. And so John 17, verse 24, Jesus' final prayer in the upper room with his 11 disciples, this was his will. This was his prayer. This was his desire. See, he came from the Father. He knows how awesome the Father is. Do you know, he says somewhere there in 14 to 15, he says, if you knew where I was going, you would rejoice that I'm going away from you. Because I'm going to the Father and he's greater than I am. That's what he said. I'm going to prepare a place for you, he said in John 14. They come back and get you to introduce you to him. I'm like, why is it so hard, Father? Sometimes it is till your faith learns to release into that place, till you learn God's ways. And God has a condition. I'll tell you this. You cannot have anything in front of him or before him. You're not going to enjoy the fullness of God if you put the world in front of him. If you put the world first, it's not going to work. How many of you figured that out yet? John 17, verse 24 says, Father, I will. Say, I will. This is God's will. I will. That they also, whom you've given me, say, that's me, be with me where I am. He says where I am about six times. He tells some of them, you can't even go where I am. But this whole book was designed to lead you to where he is. That they may behold my glory you have given me. That's what's his will. Why is that important? So we can live in a realm of glory on ourselves? No, because when you get exposed to this kind of glory, that glory is going to get on you and it's going to change the world you live in. It's what's producing this atmosphere around here. And he's leading you to that. He's leading you out of a life dominated by the flesh. He's leading you out of a life dominated by the world and its systems. He's leading you to himself, to where he is, to the room he's provided for you, to a heavenly city, a heavenly glory, to a heavenly priesthood. The problem with the church today is we're administrating from an earthly priesthood. Too much earthly stuff going on. It's the heavenly Jerusalem that's got to come down. It's the heavenly priesthood. In Book of Hebrews says, you have an altar to eat from the day that served the old tabernacle couldn't even get to. Their tabernacle was limited because they could not release to where you can release. And he is leading you there. It is his will for us to be with him. And every demonic entity in the world is there to try to stop you. Because it's more than just you. It's what you're going to carry from that realm. It's what you're going to expose to from that realm. It's what you're going to come back and release here. There is a transforming glory that we get exposed to that transforms. Literally removes the spot and wrinkle. He told me, he said, I'm about to introduce. When he speaks to me like that, he's talking about us. He goes, I'm about to introduce you, the church, to the realm of transforming glory. That's where you are. I'm going, glory, come on. Because when he said that, I'm thinking it's like today. This worship, all this, because it was just glorious. Been waking me up, getting me in there, and it's been glorious, so I'm excited. I woke up this morning excited. That's a miracle in itself, get me up at 5:30 in the morning. That's Red Sea kind of stuff. I go excited and I go in there and I'm thinking I'm going to expose this glory. And I get this other stuff. I get this sharper than any two-edged sword thing. And this sharper than any two-edged sword thing started taking place in that realm. And I'm like, God, did we have to do this on Sunday morning? There is nobody that can change you like that. There is nothing on this world that can change. I said, Lord, I didn't know that that was part of the transformation. He goes, yeah, that's part of it. My sword can cut things down very fast. Separation of soul and spirit. Nobody can show it to you. Listen, I'll tell you this. You're going to get it here, get it there. Problem is, once if you get it after everything's over, everybody's going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to be judged under the weight of that sword, that spiritual sword. But if you wait till then, that's it. If you let him do it now, it's part of the process. But it's glorious. I thought I'd been cut. I was wrong. I said, I thought I was going in there to go in his presence like every other day this week. See, God's not going to tell you what's going on in that room in there. He meets with you. There are things in his way that you cannot see, that you cannot possibly discern with a natural mind. It's not always sin. It's products of the soul that gets wrapped up around what God's doing. And he'll unravel it fast. He'll get you out of the way so he can move for you. But it's not all just the sword. It's also his love. He transforms you with the level of his love. There's a difference between the visitation of God's love here and you entering into the Father's love there. That's where we're going. That's what you signed up for here. The glory makes you accountable. You ever wonder why somebody can walk out in the gift realm? I used to watch them and I couldn't figure it out. They had anointings on them, but they just nothing, didn't atmosphere nothing. They could talk the whole time, cut jokes. It came time to turn that gift on, they just clicked the switch. Just started operating. I'm like, they didn't even need an atmosphere, nothing. They weren't even accountable half the time because I know how some of these people lived. The glory is not like that. But that whole realm gets limited. If you watch it and sit up under it long enough, you'll see its limitation. There's a certain area that never reaches past. Of course, the big wig with the anointing will never admit that to anybody. But it's truth. But there is a realm of God's glory that's unlimited. It's the realm of the unlimited. It's what he's leading his body into, and it's accountable. The glory makes you accountable. But it's a glorious accountability because it's something you can't do. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with open face. What does that mean? Open face. You're unveiled. He was going back to Moses that veiled himself under the glory during the law. He put the veil over his face. When he went in the presence of the Lord, he took the veil off. But when he went out to the people, he put a veil so they couldn't look into the glory that was on him. Because they couldn't look into it because the law veiled them. But we're not veiled under the law anymore, so we're open face. We have a new man. We are a new creation. We have access. We have the mercy seat. We have the new and the living way. We can go boldly to the throne of grace where the high priest could only go once a year. We can go boldly to the throne of grace with open face. We can march right into the glory of God, the same glory that was in the tabernacle with Moses and Joshua. We all can now go into the glory where he's leading us, where there's going to be signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration because of what you carry. This city is going to be blessed because you live in it. This city is going to be blessed because there is words, there are promises that are resident in the hearts of believers that are not going to let those promises fail. They're not going to let them return to God void, but they're going to hold them and keep them. Hallelujah. We all with open face, beholding it as a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed. Say changed. That word in the Greek is metamorpho, metamorphosis. It's transformation. It's the exact same word of transfiguration that Christ was transfigured in the ultimate glory of God while he was on mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. We're changed. That it's that kind of glory. He calls his raiment to white as snow. It's that kind of glory that we have been given access to. See, everybody wants that glory to come down. I even sing the songs because we do want it to come down, but we have to enter into that glory. And that's where he's leading us. That's where he's taking us. That's where we are. And I'm hungry for it. And I've been getting some and I want some more. And I want more. It's that transforming, metamorphosis, transfiguration type of glory that God's leading us into. What the enemy wants us to do is live here trying to work out our faults all the time. Constantly reminding of us who we are, what's going on, all the wrong problems, and you struggle internally because I got this issue and that issue and I'm trying to change all this. It's no different than somebody trying to take the law of the Old Testament, trying to make all these changes because you're operating out of an earthly priesthood. And that's not where change comes from. That's why Jesus comes and I accept you the way you are. Come unto me. I'll present you just like you are to the Father. Because it's the Father that perfects. Well, the devil don't want you to know that. Because he wants you to try to perfect you here. And it doesn't work. How you figured it out. The more you try to perfect here, the worse you get. Because you're looking in the wrong mirror. Beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are to behold Him where He is. Having the Holy Spirit lead us to Him by His Word to be in the presence of His glory so He'll transform us. And that's the secret to our Christianity. Father, I will they be with me. But the devil tells you you're unworthy to be there. You're unworthy. Don't you know what you did? You said, yeah, I know what I did, but I'm not going to be able to fix myself here. What do you think he's going to lead you here after he did all that for you to go fix yourself here? If they couldn't do it under the law, what makes you think you can do it? The law could not perfect you. And you can't perfect you either. So you either live in a state of condemnation, beat yourself up all the time, or just grab his promise and say, my perfection is in Christ. I am forever perfected in Christ. I am holy without blame in Him. That's why Paul said, and Paul kept the law, by the way. He said, I kept it blameless. But he goes, those things were gained to me. I count but dung. But I know what dung is. I count them but dung. He was standing in the Tullian keep in the prison system in Rome. That was their sewer system. When he said that, he wrote the book of Philippians in the Tullian keep. He said, I count them but dung. He was standing in the sewer system. That's where they put the prisoners. He was knee deep in it. I count it all but dung, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God by faith. I enter into His. Got to lean hard into the Lord. I lean into His grace when I'm coming in. I'm not leaning on me. I already figured out I can't perfect myself here. When I'm going to tell you straight up, when God called me, He called a person with a whole lot of issues. When He put me in the ministry, I was not ready for the ministry. Was I, Richard and Betty Jean? Don't answer that question. I used their building first. They let me use their building. Oh, those were the days. But I weren't ready. He didn't call you because you're perfect. Oh, he didn't want Abraham to be perfect. Moses definitely wasn't perfect. David wasn't perfect. But you got to be perfect before he calls you. Now he's going to perfect you along the way as you follow him. Now I'm finding the place of true perfection. I shed that stuff off as fast as I can. Let me give you a key. You better write this down. You want to find God, you're going to have to put him first. Do not work God into your schedule. It offends him. Now, at the same time, God understands some of you got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You might be a single mother and you have to do that. In that situation, God has a whole lot of grace. But if you're going to put him first, don't go into the prayer closet with your cell phone. Don't go in there praying and doing business. That's not how you approach God. You want to encounter the presence of the living God. You got to honor him. Boy, Wednesday night, he got a hold of me. I still do it. I have a tendency to do it. I'm just like everybody else. I have a tendency to do a few things in the morning, you know. Of course, this is my job to be in his presence. That's my job. But I'll get busy and I'll work him in. He told me Wednesday night, he says, I don't want you working me in. I want you to put me first. You of all people, I give you the time to do it. Put me first. If you can do that, do it. Watch what happens. The key is not just to spend time with the Lord. The key is to follow him into the glory because he's leading you somewhere. He's leading you into the place of transformation. He's leading us there. He's leading this body into the place of transfiguration where we're going to be transformed in his image. His love is going to transform us, and that two-edged sword's going to transform us. As much as that thing cut, I want more of it. Deep as that thing could cut, I want some more. Because it can do things and show you things that you're not going to get in this jurisdiction. We're trying to change here. Trying to find perfection here. Can't do it. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Let me give you a few insights about the book of Hebrews. I'm going to introduce this book today. And you understand the book of Hebrews, you're going to understand a lot. Book of Hebrews, amazing book. Let me tell you a few things about it. Right hand of God is mentioned 5 direct times in the book of Hebrews. 5, number of grace. Order of Melchizedek's referenced 7 direct times. Speaking of a different priesthood. The whole book of Hebrews was delivering them from an old priesthood. Now you and I are not under the old priesthood, but we still get under old patterns. You know, when I go to meetings, I watch people. They've been in the ministry a long time. Some of them are locked up in old patterns. Everything about them, what they say, their mannerisms, they're locked in an old pattern. And they're trying to find the glory of a living God in an old pattern. You can't do it. You have to move with the cloud. You have to move. That's why he called us to do that. He said, don't go try to build something. I got lots of churches I can put sheep into. I want to take a people into my glory. I had no idea what all that cost and what it encountered, but now I do. And it's not that hard. I thought it was. The funny thing is, once you start entering the things of God, it's not that difficult. It seems like it takes forever. Because most of the things that are in the way is us. And when we get out of the way, it becomes easy. Right hand of God, 5 times. Order of Melchizedek, 7 times. Listen to this. The word perfected, perfection, and perfect. 12 direct references to perfection in the book of Hebrews. Say 12. Apostolic government. Melchizedek government, 7 direct references. God's perfect number. Right hand of God, 5 times. Grace. The book is full. Rest. Say rest. 10 direct references to the rest of God in the book of Hebrews. The book is designed to move us from an earthly priesthood to a heavenly tabernacle. It's designed to move us from doing things as earthly people to doing things as a heavenly people. That's what that book is designed to do. When you understand and meditate it, what the enemy wants to do is lock you down. Like I said, we don't struggle being under Judaism or the law. You know, we didn't grow up under that. They did, but we grow up under religious systems that bind and keep us locked down. We keep doing the same thing every year, but we don't get any more results. I don't know about you, but I don't want to keep praying 20 more years. I want to know what makes God do this. I want answered prayer. I want the constitutions on that wall answered. I didn't write them just to write them. I want them answered. How would you like to have answered prayer? How would you like to know God that answers your prayer? Well, he does answer. I'm talking about answer your big stuff. I'm talking about God standing next to you when you're standing next to a paraplegic and he validates you. In the name of Jesus, he answers your prayer to that person. That kind. Uh-huh. Awesome, huh? Hebrews chapter 6, 6 and 1. Man, this book is heavy. I believe he's dropping us off on this one. Think about the right hand of God when we exploded into it. The way the gift of revelation works, it'll map out the whole book for you. You'll see it like that. It'll go book after book, bam, 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 and you'll teach all that. It doesn't mean you arrive to that place, but you're seeing it prophetically by Scripture. And so he lays all that out, but then he comes back and revisits what he painted before panoramically. He says, now it's time to walk in this place that you saw 5 years ago. Now you've arrived into this place. What you were looking at by revelation 5 years ago, now it's time to walk in. Say walk in. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. That's one verse you never want to take out of context. He was talking about leaving the foundations. He wasn't talking about leaving them. He's talking about building off of them. Grow up. Grow into now. Don't sit there in the foundation all your life. Why do we do that? I mean, I was saved 27 years ago. Last thing I want to do is go into a church that preaches salvation to me every single week. I mean, I got that the first year. Now, I get salvation. But if that's all we're ever going to teach somebody, we're never going to grow up. Those whole denominations, you just stay right there. So he said, we got to move. Look at this. Now notice what he says. See, you're always moving. You just don't know it. You're moving in the Spirit. You're moving in the Lamb. You're moving from, what did he say? Glory to glory. You grab something. There's something to be obtained from heaven for this generation. And I don't know about you, but I want to obtain it. I want it. I don't want to do church the way church has been done. That's why we have forsaken that path to go after. We're following him. We've learned a lot along the way. But we're about to move into the place of transformation now. Not about to, we are. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, look at this. Let us go on into perfection. Say that. Let us go on into perfection. Let us go on into perfection. Perfection is not a state of atmospheric quality that you obtain. Here, perfection is a place you arrive in there. Perfection is a place in the Father. Do you get that? What the enemy wants to do is get you locked into a state of trying to obtain perfection. Like, oh, you need to walk in love. First thing you do is go try to walk in love. Anybody ever tried to do that? Went to a marriage seminar. They told you how you need to love your wife. You come to church, say you need to walk in love. You go try to walk in love. You just make a decision. You remember that time, Richard, we went over there in 290. We got up there and we said, God, teach us how to walk in love. Oh, my God. We want this, Lord, no matter what it costs. I was off on anointing and I said that. I thought I was being real spiritual that day. I said, Lord, teach us to love like you love. Man, did trouble break out. Lord, I had enough. Thank you. That's like praying for patience. You're going to learn patience regardless. Why pray for it? Love, if you really want to walk in love, move in to a place of being loved by the Father. You can't fully love until you are loved. And when you are loved, it's a byproduct of what you're wearing. You'll come out with love. That's why he said, put on love. What are you going to do? Just put on some thing out of your flesh like I'm walking in love? No, you got to go before his presence and put on love. That's what perfection is. Perfection cannot be obtained in the earth. Perfection is a position that you move in. That's what Paul was saying. Come out of the earthly tabernacle. Come out of the works of the law. They could not perfect you because they couldn't get you to where perfection lives. And you can't perfect yourself. So come out from among them. Follow him. Do not draw back. And let the Lord and the Holy Spirit lead you into the perfection of the Father, where his love will perfect you, where his sword will perfect you. It's a quality of journey. It's a journey we're on. That's why he said, keep your eyes fixed. Amen? Now go to 7 real quick. So what he does, he's differentiating through the whole book. He differentiated the ministry of Christ versus the angels. First couple of chapters, and he gets into Moses and the priesthood. And he differentiated a lot between the priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of Moses. Then he gets into Melchizedek. You see, he's after the order of Melchizedek because he didn't come out of the loins of Aaron. He came out of the line of Judah. He wasn't called of the Aaronic priesthood. He was called of a different order like Melchizedek was. So he's differentiating the priesthood. He said there was a necessity. See, if he came out of the priesthood, then he would look just like them. You see that? If God called him out of the Aaronic priesthood, he looked just like them. But God needed a new priesthood, a more perfect priesthood, a heavenly priesthood. That's like us. If we're going to come out of every other thing that looks, that's going on, we're going to get the same result. We keep crying out for God. We're going to keep getting the same result. Everybody's getting the same result because everybody's attached to the same little priesthood. Same system. Same way. So you got to come out. Somebody's got to just stop and say, hey, maybe there's another way. Maybe all this stuff we're crying out for, repenting for, believing for, fasting for, maybe it lives somewhere else than where we're presently operating. Maybe it's a different operation. Maybe it lives in the heavenlies. Maybe we got to come out from among them and be separated and learn how to enter into where he is, how to operate from where he is, how to be a spiritual priesthood, a heavenly tabernacle, how to be seated with him in glory instead of just running around. That's part of the change mechanism that God's looking for. So move out of where things are. Now, how do you move out? You can't move unless you can see. How do I see? What does it look like? Where does it live? How do I get there? Is there a roadmap? Is there something I can follow? Is there something I can attach to? Man, I ran around the early days of ministry attaching anybody who had an anointing. I want to know what made it work. But God wouldn't let me do it. I tried. He let me observe a few things. Then he backed me up right back. He said, keep following me. I'm like, but they get it so easy. Why do they get it so easy? He said, keep following me. Keep following me. There was a roadmap. The roadmap forged and formed. The right hand of God began to open up another realm. A whole nother realm. Had a decision to make. If I can say that. Not everybody wanted to go there. We're still following. I told on the way here today, the greatest leaders are those who follow. We were to be followers of Christ first. Amen. Hebrews 7 verse 11. If therefore, it's one of the 12 references, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Look, if that priesthood could perfect them, why did God need to call somebody else? That's why he didn't call him out of Aaron's priesthood, because he would look like Aaron. In fact, Carl brought that out. He couldn't even walk into the natural tabernacle in the earth. He had no rights to it. All he could go into Solomon's porch. He could not walk into the natural holy of holies that was in the earth. Did you know that? He was not a Levite. He had no legal right to go in there. He was foreshadowing another priesthood, but he had every legal right to present his blood on the mercy seat of heaven. The holy of holies where we dwell. Amen. Verse 12, therefore, the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity to change also the law. Verse 19, I'll close it up. For the law made nothing perfect. Golly, they should tell some preachers these days that are telling people to go under the law, keep the Sabbath. Do they have a book of Hebrews in their Bible? For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw nigh unto God. See, the bringing in of the better priesthood brought us into the heavenlies, brought us into the glory, brought us into the Father, brought us into the love, brought us into the transformation, brought us into fullness. And mark my words, it's going to bring us into raw, unadulterated power. There's going to be mass salvation. In this city, I'm telling you there is, because we keep his word. I have learned something so marvelous. Keep his word in the midst of your heart. Don't let it depart, and it will begin to uphold your life. It'll uphold the presence of God in your life. It'll uphold your family. It'll uphold your finances. It'll uphold your health. It'll uphold everything God's doing, so you don't have to struggle to keep it. You build something on the wrong foundation, you got to struggle to keep it. You build it off the word that you keep in your heart, God will uphold every step. That's why we're going to move from glory to glory, not from up to down, because he's upholding everything he's building by the words that we carry. We hold and keep those words. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're exploding. In the right hand of God, they're exploding into a realm of fellowship. They're becoming living. I don't know how to fully describe what all's happening right now, but it's glorious. It's a glorious relationship of the living word that you carry in your heart. 3 months ago, you didn't even know it was there, but now it's living, it's alive, it's beautiful, it's full. Let us go on into perfection. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure, he said. Because he knew God was always leading. He knew he's always leading to a higher realm. Stick around here. We're going to keep going on up. Amen. Going on up to the sky. Hey, we're going to do it. We're going to obtain that which we have been called to obtain. Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. Let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah.